And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to Point of... No, let me stop my Zach. Let me stop my Zach impersonation.
We need to keep that in.
I do have a take.
Let's open up with a joke. What do you call a cow on the floor? Anybody know? Ground beef. That's it.
Welcome to Point of Contention, five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, 76ers gonna blow up 3-0, Suns saved, Luka playing Jazz, Ja to the rescue, and the Nets blame game. Today is April 28th. Happy National Superhero Day. I'm Super Zach. Jade Hoy is in the Batcave producing. In this corner, the Long Meadow legend, the kingpin from Beantown, who calls it like he sees it and often calls it before he sees it and sometimes sees like he calls it. In his heyday, he liked a hot box because he always wanted all the smoke, and he is exactly who Omar from The Wire was talking about when he said,
"Hey, yo, lesson here, babe. You come at the king, you best not miss."
He's the one and only J. King. Jay, how much is Twitter really worth?
Right, give me some time.
Everything. But I love that intro so much. It's not worth as much as that intro for me.
You could see him beaming with pride, right? He feels so good about himself. Yeah.
It's a great intro. Yeah. I was just smiling, yeah. waiting for the line about Marlo and Omar saying the line. Omar saying the line about me.
Which do remind me, we get up out of here.
And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and one about dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. And this just in, folks, the future author of Rudy, how Gobert brought glory back to the Bay. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, where will Mike D'Antoni be coaching next season, Brooklyn or Philadelphia?
The Illidale. He's going to resurrect James Harden's career after this disastrous implosion when Doc Rivers becomes the first coach in NBA history to give up a 3-0 lead.
I feel like we're talking about a no-hitter during a no-hitter. We're talking about a perfect game during a perfect game. Like it's
facts. And Embiid's about to drop 50.
We're so close to it. Yeah, Embiid's going to drop 50. James Harden's going to be 30 and 20. Tyrese Maxey's going to have 60. Like, it's just going to be a blowout in Toronto. They're going to crush the Raptors.
It might just be the self-fulfilling prophecy. Like,
well, that's what we're hoping for, Jay. We're hoping that we're just trying not to, like, jinx it, you know? Like, I don't really believe in jinxes, but this is one I want to make sure not to test.
Just in case it's true. Because let's stay away from it.
Yeah, just in case it's true.
For most of his life, Zach is the dude that's going to sit next to the pitcher who hadn't allowed it out for 7 innings.
100%. He's going to be like, yo, man, what are we doing? Buddy. Yeah.
Hey, man, you think you're going to get it out?
Yeah.
We've got Doc Rivers already coming out and defending his 3-1 series losses.
Well, it's easy to use me as an example, but I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me, all right? My Orlando team is the HC.
He's like, you know what? That Magic roster was terrible.
No one gave me credit for getting up against the Pistons who won the title.
Poor Pat Garrity, man.
I dare you to go back and look at that roster, and you would say, what a hell of a coaching job. Really. I mean, the Clipper team that we lost 3-1. Chris Paul didn't play in the first two games and was playing on one leg. And we didn't have home court. And then the last one, to me, is the one we blew. That's the one I said, we blew that. And that was in the bubble. And anything could happen in the bubble. There's no home court. Game 7 would have been in L.A., you know. But it just happens.
We've got Embiid already pinning it on Doc.
I've been saying all season since he got here, you know, he just needs to be aggressive and he needs to be himself. That's not really my job. That's probably on coach to, you know, talk to him and tell him to, you know, take more shots.
Well, guys, we fulfilled the banter, and let's get to the issue at hand. Jade, start the clock. Take one. 3-0. No! Fellas, in the world, nothing is certain except death, taxes, and Doc Rivers not being able to close out a playoff series. Yes, kids, those are three things you can count on. And speaking of three, the Philadelphia 76ers are inching closer to blowing a 3-0 lead to the Raptors in their round one playoff series, something that has never happened in the history of the NBA.
Really?
What once looked like a potential sweep is now an intriguing series as the Raptors beat the 76ers 103-88 in Game 5 on Monday night, their second straight win. What went wrong? Well, ask, was it Joel Embiid's thumb ligament tear? Perhaps the Doc Rivers curse, who has now lost seven of his last opportunities to close out a series as a coach?
Really?
Or maybe it's agent provocateur James Harden's plan to undermine Doc Rivers, purposely throwing the series to get Mike D'Antoni in as coach next year. Jade, play the tape.
If things don't work out, Doc Rivers going to be gone, and Mike D'Antoni's going to be in there. Who wants Mike D'Antoni as the coach? We all know. Daryl Morey's one of them. James Harden's another.
You were unhappy.
Talking about reporters. I don't know about reports. Did you guys hear from me?
That's what I'm asking.
All right, so I don't know about no reports.
Footnote. Doc Rivers now has 31 losses in closeout games, the most in NBA history. There are no shortage of narratives in this one. Marcus, how confident are you that the 76ers will blow this first-round series and make history as the first team to do so?
I don't know that they'll make history, but I consider a game seven when you're up 3-0, blowing it. And they're going to blow it.
Really?
This thing is going to get back home, and then Iverson and Meek Mill, they'll all show up, and it'll be lit, and, you know, it'll be a lot.
Yeah.
We will not forget that was a 3-0 series. And to me, if you get to a game seven on 3-0, you blew it, right? That qualifies. So, and like you said before, I do feel like Embiid's going to go out and drop 60 and make us all look like idiots, right? But
yeah.
This is hope.
Look, that thumb looks bad. This thumb, is hope, like he's Jay. Wincing when he catches the ball.
I'm hoping, Jay. I want this to happen. I want Philly to lose game six because I want that game seven in Philadelphia.
I'm sure Philly will handle itself well if that happens. Like that is a city that boos during when the opponent goes on a 5-0 run, when things are going extremely well. So if it gets to game seven, that home environment could be more hostile than anything the 76ers would run into in Toronto.
If they get down 10 early in a game seven, that crowd will turn on.
Oh, the warm up, like instantly. The day before, the warm up at every water cooler at every radio station, they're gonna lose their mind. The entire time between game six and seven will be like a therapy session for the entire city of Philadelphia.
How they're still up 3-2, like they still have another home game, and people have decided like this is just going away from
Harden's
them.
Throwing Harden. This, you know, Embiid can't do it. Doc can't coach.
It's over.
Matisse isn't vaccinated. You know, Tobias Harris makes too much money.
In Philly sports, you are guilty until proven innocent. That's
100%. And even then, you know.
And these dudes have all been guilty in the past, too. And that's what makes it even more majestic is it's like the perfect storm of Doc, who has blown all the 3-1 leads, and Harden, who's had his playoff history, and Embiid, who's never gotten out of the second round. And it's just like you throw it all in a pot and oh, man, it's just beautiful. It smells so good.
My feeling was that these characters should be able to have their proper goodbye, as it were. A franchise can only last for so long.
On the Raptors side of it, you know, no Fred VanVleet, or I think he's listed as doubtful for game six, and he missed game five. They won, right? They won, and you know, he left in game four, and you know, I think this Raptors team can handle not not having him there, but it's one less shooter you have. It's one less steady hand with the basketball. And it's asking a lot of these guys to, again, for even just forcing a game six when down 3-0 is asking a lot.
Yeah, but
yeah, it is. And the thing about it, too, is like they've attacked Philly in ways that just has really disrupted Philly. And I think part of it is that Embiid is just really hurting. Like you can tell that dude is just feeling it every time he catches the ball, every time he gets contact, every time he tries to do anything. So I respect him for playing through it. But like all they have is 6'7" dudes. And especially with Van Vliet out, like all they have are guys that can guard Harden. And Harden is just not the same right now. He's not the same dude. He's diminished. And I think that's part of the reason why this is such a disaster in Philly right now. Like, forget this series right now. They got Harden to win a title right away. They got him to pay him a lot of money down the road. And he looks diminished. Never mind being good enough 2-3 years from now. Like, they're not close to good enough right now. So it's bad. And Embiid, you could see him getting gassed in game five, rather. But he just got blown by so many times in ways that I'm not used to seeing Embiid get blown by.
Yeah, I think not having Fred VanVleet like pushed him into the corner that they're better at anyway, right? Like, you know, you move Scotty Barnes into the start lineup, that is hell. That's literal. Like, and now you got
good. He's good.
Now you got like Boucher, Thad, Precious. Mm-hmm. That's your three main guys coming off the bench. Like all dudes who literally live on toughness and defense. Thaddeus Young is 94 years old, and he's still in the league because he can do these two things, right? Like, and pass the ball, right?
He
like,
dropped Joel Embiid. He made him touch the ground. Him. Like, that's crazy. Oh, man.
If the Raptors do win this series, that moment is going to be.
That's going to be.
Whew. Oh, but you know what's, like, if it comes down to toughness, Philly's a better team. But if it comes down to toughness, don't you feel better about Toronto? Like, if it comes down to, like, who's going to sheerly, like...
I feel like Embiid's been very tough, right? Like, playing through this injury the way he has, he's been good. Yeah,
He needs some people with him.
I don't know, man. You guys aren't giving Korkmaz enough credit for his toughness.
Yeah, no, we're not, actually.
All right, we're going to move on to pick two. Mikal Bridges over Troubled Water. I will lay me down.
Bridges, 20 points in the second half. He was phenomenal. Defensively, here he goes!
Out west, the Suns got a historic effort from Mikal Bridges to take back control of their first round NBA playoff series with a 112-97 game 5 victory over the Pelicans for a 3-2 lead in their first round series. Bridges had a night, 31 points, 12 of 17 from the field, 4 blocks and a steal. He was 4 of 4 from deep and finished the game with 2 emphatic dunks. Jade, play the tape.
Pocket pass. Bridges puts it down.
From the random stat you'd never heard of department, our favorite department here at Point of Contention, there have been just 7 players in playoff history to have a 30-point game with 4 three-pointers and 4 blocks. They are LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
Vince Carter, and now, of course, Mikal Bridges. Why else would I bring it up if he hadn't qualified for this? Defense was key in this victory, led by Bridges, who hounded both CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram. He should have been Defensive Player of the Year. The Suns held the Pelicans to 40% shooting and 5 of 25 accuracy from 3. Chris Paul added 21 points and 11 assists and got one giant kick in the nuts to Jose Alvarado. No call on the play, but social media critics are questioning if it was an intentional move by Paul.
He would never.
Chris Paul also kind of goaded into another 8-second violation by Jose Alvarado. Jay, did Mikal Bridges save the Suns?
They were always going to win this series. The Pelicans are fun. The Pelicans are feisty. But the Suns have been on a mission all season. And I think part of the reason why they've been so good, part of the reason why they were able to thrive even without Chris Paul when he was hurt during the regular season, they have guys that are ready for more responsibilities but buy into the role that they have. And, you know, when they're fully healthy, it's Chris Paul, it's Devin Booker doing most of the stuff. But Cam Johnson has a lot more game than he used to. They've got Bridges, who has a lot more game than he used to. Like, even campaign is ready for like some more responsibilities when they need it.
Maybe too much responsibility. Yeah. Maybe ready, yeah. A little too ready.
But they have guys who are totally bought into what they do on a night-to-night basis who can then give them a lot more when they're shorthanded. Ayton, too, he's another one. So I just think as fun as the Pelicans are, as great as it is to watch Alvarado like just stick with Chris Paul,
so much, man.
94
him
feet.
And Herb Jones. Like,
they had to play a second point guard with Chris Paul just to have another ball handler out there because Alvarado was giving him hell. And that's fun to me. But the Suns are just much better, even without Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
To answer your question, Zach, I do think Bridges saved them. Like, he reminded them that they were the Suns, right? Problem for New Orleans is their best bet is to keep the game close. But that's literally, like, the best where Phoenix is at their best, right? So it's like, that game.
Yeah, they're the best clutch team in the league this year.
That game got closed down the stretch, and it was over, right? It was like Paul, Bridges, right? Ayton Dunk. You got to be perfect on the other end offensively because they're getting a bucket. Like, they're getting a bucket. It's just going to happen with Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So now you got to be perfect on offense, and Ingram wasn't, right? So, to me, that's what makes it difficult, but you got to be worried if you're the Suns, man. Like, look how hard Chris Paul has to work. Look how frustrated he's getting. Bridges saved them because he reminded them that they were the superior team. Like, his performance was like, look, dude, we got guys. We got guys. And it feels like sometimes Phoenix forgets that, right? And it's all Chris Paul fadeaways. But they got guys.
I also think, like, he's capable of doing that more often.
Bridges, right? Absolutely.
Like, Mikal Bridges could score at Villanova. Like, he was good. Absolutely. Like, he's got that to his game. He's just rarely asked to do that because you have Ayton and Booker and CP3.
Like, low-key, he's really who, like, I jokingly to say Jay Crowder is, right? Like, he makes all of the shots. He doesn't miss, right? Like, Jay Crowder only hits the ones, but...
Well, sometimes.
But Bridges is like that.
That's an ongoing debate.
It's funny, too.
Conflicting reports on that one.
You know, it's funny, my first thought after that game, Bridges goes off, he's 31, right? He had a wide-open three that, like, just had no chance. It felt like he had no chance of missing. Did a two dunks. And my immediately thought after his 31 points was, he was robbed for Defensive Player of the Year because a big scorer night proves he's Defensive Player of the Year.
100%.
I have a take that... I don't even know if it's a hot take, but
I like you announcing you have a take instead of just saying the take.
On a show Alvarado, of takes, take. He's got a take.
Alvarado and Herb Jones could be the reason why the Suns don't win a title. And I don't mean that to say that the Pelicans are going to win the series. I mean that they are making Chris Paul work so hard that it's going to catch up to him down the line. Like, no matter where he goes, it's just tough. And he's able to fight through it. He's a tough, tough dude. But the miles that he's put on because Booker got hurt and because those guys are just putting him through hell, he's not the type of guy who's...
We lose Jay.
It looks like he's coming back.
I don't know.
I'm here. Hold on.
That Herb Jones dude, man, like... Where he come from?
Straight jacket.
For the 35th pick is crazy. Like, he's gonna be Defensive Player of the Year.
Can you guys hear me?
Like, he's
probably.
You know, I know they don't like giving it to guards, but it feels like that seal is broken, and then you can argue like Bridges, but he's a wing dude. The way he blocks threes,
Herb's like a. Can you guys hear me? He can guard 2 through 4 like really easily. He'll probably even be able to guard ones pretty easily.
No question. He is really. Yeah. A lot of these dudes are Defensive Player of the Year in college, right? But it's like, come on, man! Like, you're guarding 17 passes in a pull up, right? But but no, he's got the perfect tools in a league that's dominated on the perimeter.
Can you guys hear me?
His ability to contest threes without fouling. It's crazy. Like, he's jumping
to a point in the sky. He's not like jumping to the shot release. He's like,
right. He's not jumping to the shoot.
He's like, yo, I'm about to get to that ball like after it's out of your hand. It's insane how he can do that. Which if he can do that, like how do you get around a dude with arms like that, right? Like, so imagine him like get some weight on him and some strength. Like, he's gonna be a monster.
Can you guys hear me?
And to quote the judge in My Cousin Vinny, you know, Celtics fans who are mad at us saying we think that Mikal Bridges got robbed, you know, you make very cogent arguments about Marcus Smart.
That is a lucid, intelligent, well thought out objection.
There's a lot of good evidence there. There's a lot. He's a very good player.
Overruled.
I do not agree. I think Mikal Bridges should be the defensive player. It's too late for that now, so who cares? The winner of Suns Pelicans will play the Jazz or the Mavs.
I was about to say, oh, man.
Hold on. Can you guys hear me?
Jade, take three. Luka jazzed up. The Utah Jazz came into the first round series against the Mavericks as the heavy favorites. Remember that? Oh, those were the days. Luka Doncic hurt his ankle, missed the first three games, that calf injury. This is going to be a cakewalk for Utah. But the reeling Jazz now find themselves in a 3-2 Slovenian hole after getting destroyed 102-77 on Monday night in Dallas. Luka and the Mavs were aggressive early, and their defense stifled Utah throughout. Dallas blew the game wide open. In the third quarter, Luka scored 19 points as he dissected the Jazz, and the Mavericks never looked back. Things got chippy in the fourth when a fracas broke out between Doncic and Hassan Whiteside. Dorian Finney-Smith was involved after a dunk attempt. 5:33 remaining. Oh, it's a fracas. You kidding me? You see that Dallas Mavericks fan stand up and start talking, and then it got a little closer to him. He's like, hey, I'm not a part of this. You know, that was a fracas. That's how you know. Jade, play the tape.
This doesn't seem to matter. Looked like Whiteside made a clean play. Doncic didn't appreciate perhaps the extra contact. Grant, I don't think there was anything malicious from Whiteside. We'll have to look at the replay.
I agree. I thought it was a clean play. At least from the angle where we were. I think it was a bad play. They got a little tangled up and a little pushing and shoving.
It was a little bit of an arm tangle. A lot of pushing. Heat of the moment.
I didn't see anything there.
I never meant to be so bad.
I didn't see anything there.
One thing I said that I would never do.
A lot of pushing.
A look from you and I would fall from grace.
There's a little bit of an arm tangle.
And that would wipe the smile right from my face.
Pushing and shoving.
Heat
of the moment. I didn't see anything there.
We were young, and we would scream together songs unsung. It was the heat
of the moment.
I didn't see anything there.
Meanwhile, many wonder if Donovan Mitchell will be available for Game 6 as he limped off the court after his hamstring tightened up late in the blowout loss. Now, for those not paying attention, the Jazz ended the season in a bit of disarray when they had a five-game losing streak, and rumors of dissent between Mitchell and Rudy Gobert were stirring yet again. The team hates each other. To accentuate the point, head coach Quinn Snyder went on a rambling 20-minute rant defending his two players, seemingly responding to rumors on Twitter. I guess, I don't know, who the fuck knows what he was talking about. Jake, play the tape.
Built from the ground up, and was something that I've of course, put a lot of my, as you do with all characters, but you put a lot of yourself into the character, so, and also having worked on these films with these people and having added much of myself, much of my own rewriting of the dialogue and scenes and the jokes and whatever they are.
Marcus, can we put a fork in this jazz dumpster fire once and for all tonight?
Not until on this show we talk about the game-winning pass Donovan Mitchell made to Rudy Gobert to shut you up about the passing.
Fuck the talk.
Told you.
Let's see what we're talking about in the second round.
They sit at the same table when they eat sometimes. You know, we don't... You know, I don't know if they ride to practice together. Probably not.
I told you they pass to each other.
Jalen Brunson is carving up DeAndre.
I told
Ayton,
you they sat
right?
next
Let's
to
see
each
that.
Other. Look, I think they're done.
3 years of not passing to him just to set up that one play. It's brilliant.
Dallas was so surprised. It was like Rudy's cut.
They never thought that pass was coming.
Here's the problem they have. They can't score. They just can't score with Dallas.
They're the number one ranked offense.
Not
in the
with
league.
Dallas.
They cannot score. They can't even come close.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, to be fair, they missed a lot of
well,
like,
the
shots
part where you're confident,
three,
right?
Hit.
If you're Jazz, you're thinking Bogdanovich is not missing those again, right? Like he's there. Right. He went over
in.
Nine, yeah. right? Like that's crazy. Yeah. But even still, you need Conley, you need Bogey, you need Donovan, you need Jordan Clark. Like, mm-hmm. these dudes are, like, Dallas is just chucking threes from everywhere. They're just driving and chucking. It's Luka, it's Jalen putting all kind of pressure, and Dorian and Reggie just chucking and making them. Like, did you need that Jalen Brunson three from the corner? Like, where did he even get that from? It was like, they're just crushing these dudes, and they're toying yeah. with Rudy.
They have to figure out a way to outscore Dallas. They can't. That's mm-hmm. not even possible, really, I don't think.
I'm just sad. I'm sad. I'm sad because this Jazz team played beautiful basketball just last season. Like,
uh-huh. yeah,
they
great,
played
huh?
beautiful basketball even early this season.
Yeah.
And then they just,
basketball is jazz
just
was
totally
just
imploded.
Right in team form. It was
they
great.
Just totally
yeah.
imploded. They stink to watch.
Yeah.
They stink to watch.
They're not fun to watch. That's a great point. They're not fun to watch. It's not that they're losing like spectacular fashion. Like they're just
they
not
got
fun.
Donovan forcing stuff when he shouldn't. They've got every single person on their team getting blown by. They've got guys refusing to make rotations that they obviously should. And it's time. It's time for them to
nah,
be.
Nah, it's been time, buddy.
To be wiped off the NBA earth forever.
Dude.
We'll remember fondly those months when people were wondering if they could win a title last season.
Mm.
But that's about all we'll remember fondly.
Hey, in a game five where everything is on the line, they're fighting for. Every like their entire reputation, they could not get more than 22 points in a quarter. 18, 18, 19, 22. But the 22 was when the game was over. Like, you can't mm-hmm. get 20 points.
Now, to be fair, the Mavericks last year up 3-2 on the Clippers, and they shit the bed offensively in game six, and they shit the bed defensively in game seven. Now, that's a different coach. It's a little bit different.
And that defense
you know, tweaks
is different.
Here and there.
That defense.
And the Clippers
is different.
Are definitely different than the Jazz, but. You
and
know,
Donovan's hamstring.
They were literally just in this position last year. Yeah, Donovan's hamstring.
That's a big problem.
Yeah,
no.
The Mavericks defense
yeah,
has
just
been.
Just like crap all over them. I'm trying to be a Mr. Brightside for this Jazz team. You guys just won't let the sun
hey,
come
I
out.
I got a bright side for you. Hassan Whiteside was like about that smoke. I ain't never seen a dude push a guy twice in one thing. And he got two texts for it. Like, since when did they become like the prison complex? It was like you rob a dude and he got two watches and you get a year for every watch. That's not how it should work. Like, that was one action. Why do you get two texts for one
you
action?
You got watches in prison?
No, you rob a dude and the judge is like, I'm giving you a
oh,
year
got
for
you,
every
got
watch.
You,
it's
got
like,
you.
I'm giving
yeah,
you a text
for
every
watch
push.
You got, yeah.
Like, come on. That was
so
all like one issue of smoke.
Watches in prison. I was like,
you know, like come on, sweet. Man. That was cruel and unusual punishment. Two texts for two pushes. That's wild. That was mm-hmm. all one fit.
That should be one fracas. It was
one fracas.
Yeah,
one
fracas.
Those are the real deal, though. Mavs are the real deal. If they get Luka back to 100%, which I don't think he is yet, that team
oh,
has a chance.
What a thought.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, their defense is really good this year. And when you combine that with Luka and all the stuff he does, and Jalen Brunson attacking you off the bounce, and like that team has a chance, man.
I just hope Devin Booker is back in time. For so we can get.
I want to see full squad for both teams. Yeah, absolutely. Take four. You've got to be kidding me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruit and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
In Memphis, the birthplace of rock and roll, the Grizzlies took a 3-2 lead over the Timberwolves thanks to a Ja Morant layup in the closing seconds of regulation on Tuesday night. The NBA's most improved player, hands down, secured the game-winning bucket right before the buzzer to send the crowd into a frenzy. Taylor Jenkins lost his shit celebrating that game and put Memphis one win away from a berth in the Western Conference semifinals. Jade, play the tape.
Brooks, toss it. Morant drives. Morant! Oh, it's good! 1 second left. Ja Morant with the bucket.
Born to lose.
Ja, who caught fire in the fourth, finished with 30 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals. His late-game heroics stole the spotlight from Anthony Edwards, who tied the game at 109 with an amazing corner three. Jade played that tape.
Get it in for Towns. Back for McLaughlin. The bounce to the outside. The jumper. Good! It's Edwards!
Grizzlies were down 11 midway through the fourth, but Morant scored 18 points, ignited his team as the Grizz roared back for their second big comeback of the series. Asked to walk reporters through the possession that gave Memphis a 3-2 lead in the series, Morant kept it simple. "Go get a bucket, Ja," he said. Jade, tape me.
Ja, I mean, you and the team were both struggling for a lot in the first three quarters of the game. That dunk at the end of the third seemed to change the weather for everybody. How do you explain how drastically your own game changed after that dunk?
I mean, I really wasn't excited about the dunk. It was over a guard. That's pretty easy. So, definitely, you know, ignited the crowd, you know, gave us some energy. And, you know, from then on, I was pretty much just being very aggressive. I'm not going to speak on what else sparked me. It's just a lot of floor spacing, you know, guys who can knock down the three ball. Able to, you know, get out and run, you know, once we rebound, you know, playing alongside Tyus, you know, take some of the, you know, ball handling pressure off me, and, you know, you have another great point guard who can make plays for everybody, and, you know, also a score for himself. You know, it's big time. We had a lot of guys came in and contributed big time for us and, you know, helped us, you know, come back and get a win.
Jeff?
Pat Bev did the too small thing late in the game. Did you notice that?
And
did
yeah.
Does that...
You see what I did the next play?
Yeah. All right. Think you had like 13 after that. Is that no coincidence?
It don't bother me, bro.
Yeah.
If we have what we want, pretty much. Obviously, you got to be better on ball, but, you know, after that, I came back, did the same thing after my bucket. So, it's nothing with us that people trying to make it like a matchup. It's not that.
Can you take us through the last play?
Go get a bucket, Ja.
Can you take us through the last play?
Go get a bucket, Ja. Go get a bucket, Ja. Go get a bucket, Ja.
Jay, did this win seal the deal for the Grizz? Or are we heading to game 7?
Anything could happen in this series. This series cracks me up, man. Like, it is really like two high school teams going at each other. They don't really know what they're doing, but they just have a ton of talent. And you never know when they're going to totally screw up.
And hella girls in the crowd, huh? Like this crowd full of...
Amino Hassan described it as two 19-year-olds having sex for the first time. Like, this is
that's basically what this is. And it is utter chaos. Like, you've got two teams totally willing to just fling shots at the rim, totally willing to make dumb passes, and then doing stuff that you've never seen before. Ja Morant, out of nowhere, just cocks his arm back however many degrees and slams down one of the best dunks.
I counted like Anthony, it as 57.
Ian Eagle called it a jawbreaker.
Anthony Edwards does stuff. Great call. You're just like, wow. And then you've got D'Angelo Russell like just pulling up for shots that nobody has any business taking.
Oh, my God.
And you like the Anthony Edwards on the final possession of the game against a guy that all you have to do is force him to shoot. Like, everyone knows, just force Ja to shoot. You got a 70%
chance. You live
with
a jumper.
You got a 70% chance of going to overtime. And Anthony Edwards admitted after the game, he's like, I decided I was going for the steal before the play happened.
No matter what. You can't write this stuff, yo. Like,
no matter what.
The audacity to say it, like, that. It's why you love him, but it's good also why.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah.
And you could tell, like, he totally abandoned the game plan. And just said, Ja, here you go. There's the paint. I know that's where you want to go, but, like, go ahead.
I must admit, Jay, when D'Lo got the ball and he in ISO, I was thinking run some action. But I felt like, you know what? D'Lo's been in this moment before. Right? He's been in a play. He's experienced.
He's surprisingly clutch this year.
And I was like, all right, you know what? Go cook him, D'Lo.
Go get him, D'Lo.
How do you not hit the like this brick. Dude hit the opposite side of the rim? It was like, are you?
That's tough to do.
It reminded me of how the Warriors had him for like a month, and then we're like, nah.
Yeah, what if we get this draft pick?
It's like, come on, D'Lo. This is the most slapstick series. This is like a Martin show, right? Like, where it's hilarious, but because it's funny, you know what I'm saying? Like, not. Not because the lines are great, but because it's hella slapsticky. They're so good, and there's so much talent on the floor. But even the talent is why, like, Cat just sometimes I don't know what Cat is doing. Like, why is Cat pressing? Why is Cat guarding?
Why is his voice deeper?
Why is he guarding Kyle Anderson out by the 3-point line with the game on the line?
Why is Jaren Jackson jumping on people's backs when he's already in foul
trouble?
Oh
my God, Jaren, just put a hand up. You don't have to jump on people anymore.
And he keeps pulling his hair out like he don't know what's going on. Like, dude, you're fouling people. That's why he's like grabbing his hair.
I don't know. He's like jumping all over him. He's like, what foul? What are we doing?
I don't know what they're doing. They just keep doing stuff.
The Timberwolves had Dylan Brooks on Karl Towns down the stretch, and we're like,
for like 4 minutes.
Let's get it to Ant. Let's get it to D'Lo, and let's let them cook.
Let's go to Pat Beverly.
Pat Bev did go ISO with the cat on Dylan Brooks. He missed the first. He made the second one and started doing the two little.
Yep. And then Ja scored on D-Lo. It was, did the you're even smaller kind of thing. Like, it was, oh, my God.
And then they leave poor high school teams. Jared Vanderbilt, like, to man the paint by himself. Like,
I mean, he's a good defender, not a rim protector, right?
He's like, hey, man.
Go stop Ja.
After he saw what happened to Malik.
It's like. That's kind of messed up. You mentioned Martin, the show. Cole, underrated all-time comedic actor.
Oh, for sure.
Comedic character.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Fantastic. For sure. Yeah. He was incredible.
All right.
This series is great. Minnesota should have won this series by now. Just think about that. Like, obviously,
won it twice.
Yeah, that's something you could take into the offseason, right? Like, obviously, this is all complete inexperience.
Sure,
it's just like, but they can look at the series and like, yo, we should have won this.
Is the one problem though? They're so hung up on the refs. I don't know if they'll have that awareness.
Yeah, hung up on. And they're the not talk the
only
one.
They're not. Yeah,
they gotta stop.
They're not
that.
The only ones who are hung up on the refs this offseason or this postseason. But yeah, I feel like that's coloring how they view.
I don't know whether I'm more impressed by the Wolves or just disappointed in them. Like that. That's how I am.
Yeah. No. The answer is always yes. It's always yes. Yeah. All right. Take five. Nets choke or Celtics yoke. Fallout continued to pour out of every single media crevice this week as pundits, analysts, and talking heads alike tried to explain the jaw-dropping Celtics 4-0 sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. Expected to be a force, the Nets turned out to be a farce. In the end, we learned that basketball is still a team sport. Who knew? But what do we make of all this? Where does the blame lie? Are we not giving Boston enough credit? Are the Nets not who we thought they were? Can Steve Nash coach? Was it Kyrie's fault? Is KD hiding behind Kyrie? What the fuck happened to Ben Simmons? And does it even matter? These guys are all millionaires throwing balls in the hoops. Marcus, play God here for me, okay? Who Blake thou God. Shalt repent for the Nets' loss to the Celtics?
Ime Udoka. What? Ime Udoka should repent for not showing any mercy to the Brooklyn Nets. Right. Yeah. You know what was so bad was they let them get close enough to think they were going to win. And then all of a sudden they locked in on defense and hit every clutch shot. That we're not talking enough about how good Boston is. Boston can win a championship,
Like, for sure. Let me just say this, though. I've seen that a lot, okay? I saw that a lot today of, like, why are we talking about the Nets collapse instead of the Celtics? Because the Celtics are alive and the Nets are dead. That's why. You talk about the dead body and then you move on to the
living. No, we definitely should talk about the Nets because we've been talking about them all year and there's no point in stopping now when they get swept out the first round. That's not,
we have plenty of time to talk about how great the Celtics are.
But I do think part of it is that Boston's really good. Like, it was a terrible matchup. I don't know that they would get swept if it was the Bucks, right? I don't know if they had another team. They are just so... such a bad matchup for the Nets. They have an answer for the two things the Nets have. They literally have an answer. And even if it's not Tatum, like we saw Tatum and Franz keep KD down, but then he didn't keep KD down and they just matched him bucket for bucket. Mm-hmm. Like Boston is really good. And if you put this in the context of where they were and what happened last year, like you know, when they like this team is
where they were early November,
middle of January,
I guess, middle of January.
To me, that was as impressive as the Nets implosion. This is the crazy part. It's actually both. The Celtics were great, and the Nets imploded. Yeah. that's kind of both what happened. The Celtics, man, they might win a title, bro. I don't know what.
The Celtics laid out all the explosive, poured all the gasoline, got all the you know, wires ready and everything, and went over there with the lighter, and the Nets were like, oh, we got this for it. We'll light it. We'll let it here.
Let us have the honor.
Yes, please allow us. You guys have so many other teams you can blow up in this postseason. Let us do
it. I do wonder how differently that series would have gone if the last possession had gone any other way. Like Celtics lose that game.
Game one?
Yeah. Celtics lose that game. Then all of a sudden there's so much pressure going against Durant and you're down. Losing home court against Durant. And then old demons could have come into play. Like the way the Celtics close games or didn't close games earlier in the season.
Yeah, think about this, Jay. If Marcus Smart forces a shot there and misses instead of hitting him with the pass, then it's like, hey, I thought you said we need to move the ball in crunch time. Exactly. All this shit, right? Like that pops up that for sure. Yeah. Up,
but instead, it became like, okay, the last 3 months of the regular season were real. Like Jason Tatum, he really played at like an MVP level over the last 3 months of the regular season. Continued to do it even against Durant. The defensive job he did against Durant was crazy. Like almost nobody blocks Durant's shot. He did it twice and came an inch away from doing it a third time, fouled him. But then they just have so many other guys who can guard Durant too. How many teams have Grant Williams to throw at him and Al Horford who can switch against just about anybody?
Al Horford was great against
Jalen Brown. He was Marcus Smart. And it's like,
They could go Robert Williams too if he was healthy. Like, they could get out there on him.
Yeah, and he got back on the court in that series to like get that those minutes under his belt. Like, yeah.
And so the defense, there were 10 minutes of clutch time in that series, and the Celtics held the Nets to 4-for-13 shooting during that time.
But see, that like, to me totally is the clamped. Difference. That's the difference between a team that's been through it, that's went home with L's, that's heard all the talk, that fought in the locker room, that had the real conversations. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reason Marcus Smart didn't take that shot is because he's taken that shot before. And it's like a Matrix when he's like, you've been down that road before, Neo. you don't want to go down that road.
Right? You don't want that one. Right? You know what I'm saying?
So to me, that's the difference. Yeah. The Nets haven't been through that. But here's what's crazy, right? Milwaukee dunked the Nets and gave up home court, and now Boston gets to open the next round at home. This is perfectly set up for them coming off sweeping the Nets, and they'll be rested.
Probably no Chris Middleton, you know, at least to start that series, unless some miracle happens. Like that, Nets are the Celtics are in a great position because they just dispatched the Nets right away. Didn't mess around. You're right. Like if that game one goes differently into game one, yeah, you might, I don't know. Maybe the Celtics still win that series, but we don't feel like, oh yeah, this is definitely a title contender.
And you look around the rest of the East, it's not just Milwaukee. It's Miami with Jimmy Butler dealing with whatever he's dealing with that forced him out of the last game. Kyle Lowry. You've got Philly imploding and Embiid's hurt. And Harden's not the same.
Max Strus. Don't count out Max Strus.
Don't count out Victor Oladipo, man. Where did that come from?
Yo, Bill Strusel out here, man.
Well, I think I wouldn't
come
count.
Come on. Like, the spirit of DeMatha. He out here. He can get through anything, baby.
He could get through anything, yeah. Look, he might contribute. I just wouldn't be counting on Victor Oladipo to contribute. That's asking a lot out of that body after the last 3 years.
I don't know what the king of Longfellow is going to do this June. Oh, man, you better cancel those plans you had to whatever you were going to do.
Is it Longfellow or Longmeadow? Did you just make it?
I was like, who the hell is he talking about?
The king of Longfellow.
I did.
Longmeadow, baby.
Longmeadow Mass. Hey.
All right.
My bad.
No, go for it.
We'll accept your apology.
No, I'm saying my bad for
that's,
Longfellow.
That's just it?
Yeah, I was saying
that's
my bad for Longfellow.
Oh, okay. All right. That's going to do it from, what the fuck is that place in Westeros? I don't know. Wherever, some location you nerds know from those books and that TV show. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. We got all the Team Squad podcasts, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunks. Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes. Don't forget No Dunks. Don't forget Michelle Beadle's podcast, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle? For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and keep it locked on The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.